Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast with your hosts Hayden Gullis and James Coker. And today we are finally getting back into the rhythm of things with Formula One. It is going to be the Dutch Grand Prix this weekend. F1 is back, baby. And I think it's been too long. The break has been nice, but now, you know, we need to scratch that itch and get back to Formula One. But there was a little bit of drama in the recent week between the last two podcasts. And that is, in fact, 2021 NASCAR Cup champion Kyle Larson has claimed that he is a better all-round driver than Max Verstappen. He says in IndyCar and Formula One, he probably wouldn't beat him, but give him any other car and he would probably beat him. What do we think about that? I mean, Carl Larson's American, isn't he? So, you know, is that just like an American way of doing things, that we are better than you no matter what?
I do feel like it's a position of American exceptionalism. But I also feel like, especially the way the conversation has gone down, because Kyle Larson made the claim that he said, yes, okay, I would not be able to beat Max Verstappen on in an Indy car or an F1 or in an open wheel race. But in almost any other style of racing, I'm confident that I could beat him. William Byron, who is also a very good NASCAR driver, said, oh yeah, I could probably beat any other F1 driver on the grid. I do feel like the comments from both of those drivers were attempts to make headlines. We're talking about it right now. It's working.
It is working.
But we have not seen really any Formula One drivers respond in response to those comments. The only thing that I saw, Ash Vandelay, who has been a Red Bull creator for a very long time, did ask Max Verstappen this question.
I saw it today, yes.
And he was like, yeah, listen, like I probably wouldn't be able to beat someone like him in the dirt because I've never driven in dirt before. I grew up karting and, you know, following F1 and pursuing F1 as a career. And he said he seemed very tired of the best driver comparison debate. Like he seemed pretty exhausted by it. And he's like, listen, every discipline is different. I don't think you can, it's like, I'm paraphrasing here, but it says it's like comparing like apples and oranges. Like there's just no way to really know. I don't think it's a legit claim from Kyle Larson's side. I think Kyle Larson is an unbelievable driver, unbelievably versatile driver. You know,
he did Indy 500 this year, didn't he? Took part in it.
Yes, he did. And I believe he's going to do it again next year.
Yes.
Yeah. Qualified well. He had an issue where he, in the race, he shifted.
The car broke down, didn't he? Yeah.
No, car didn't break down. He shifted incorrectly. So I believe he like jumped a gear and he ended up getting passed by a ton of cars because of that. I think he like, he pressed the paddle like one too many times or something.
Yeah.
And
Sometimes you accidentally double shift it and then you just get bumped down low revs. Yeah.
And he ended up getting passed by quite a few cars from that. And wasn't able to really recover, but he looked great in qualifying. He finished pretty strong. He's, you know, so he's shown 2021 NASCAR champion, was very competitive in the Indy 500. I would love to see him in IndyCar full time just to see how competitive he could be.
Yeah.
He's very good in midgets on the dirt. He can do a lot of different disciplines, but I guess my question is, if you were to have all of these drivers from different disciplines race against one another, what is the medium that makes it a level playing field?
Yeah, really, really difficult one. It's got to be something maybe that they've all done that you kind of maybe suspect. For the majority of drivers, all start off in karting. You know, whether you went on to then do GTs or LMPs, or you know, you're off in IMSA, or you know, I don't know much about rallying and where that would have come from. Would that have come from drivers, you know, still karting from young age and then going off into doing rally? I'm not too sure. Maybe that's just literally starting off with a car in a field and just throwing it around in young teenage years and enjoying that. You know, it could be something that doesn't necessarily include drivers from that caliber over, but you would suspect that karting, it just brings it all down to a level playing field and back to basics as well. And it is just, you know, such the purest form, I feel like, of motorsport is karting, because it is just you and the kart. There's nothing really else going on. And it's always usually so highly competitive. So I'd probably say something like that. But, you know, on this claim, I don't think this is too far-fetched and people should really dramatize it as much as they have. As a driver, I'd imagine that they have to think that they are the best at what they do, but also the best at anything. Because at the end of the day, if you don't think that you are the best, what's the point of you being there? I'm pretty sure if you asked any driver on the F1 grid, do you think you're the best driver here? The majority of them would probably say yes. The majority of them would mentally think that they are. And if they don't, then unfortunately, they've already given that edge to their competitors, because you're accepting weakness and you're already putting yourself down and taking yourself out of that state of mental focus and preparation going into an event. So yeah, I kind of understand where he's coming from. And obviously the openness of saying, obviously I wouldn't beat him in F1, because Max Verstappen drives F1 all the time, is on the simulator. And IndyCar is probably a closer a comparison to a different type of motorsport. But Max Verstappen, yes, okay, he's done a lot of GT racing on iRacing. Who knows what would happen if he came over to a different series of racing with no practice and jumped in. Carl Eisen would probably beat him. But if Max put the practice in, Max might be able to beat him. I'd love to see it. You know, I'd love to see it one day. But what I will state is I could also reckon I could beat Max Verstappen. It would be at F1 Racestars, which was the F1 equivalent of Mario Kart. I was an absolute goat at that game back in the day. Max Verstappen, you don't stand a chance, mate.
Who did you drive with in F1 Race Stars?
Or Jenson Button, as we are a big Jenson Button fan, always Jenson Button. But all the teams had different perks. Like you had, I think Mercedes, you could shoot back like three bubbles at the same time rather than just the one. So you all had different perks. So I'd have to look at all the teams again and see which one was the best. But I feel like out of my love for Jenson Button, on the majority of the times I would choose him.
What are these cars doing shooting bubbles?
It was like Mario Kart. It's Mario Kart, but it was a Formula One version of the game. And it is honestly the worst thing that has ever happened in this world is that they do not make this game anymore. They haven't made an updated version. It came out in 2012 with the F1 2012 drivers and cars, and they never followed up. There's never been an F1 Racestars 2. And if EA Codemasters, they're listening, bring it back, because it is the greatest game you've ever made.
Was it a popular game?
Yeah, I feel like it was a popular game back then. Maybe because I was playing it, but I don't know. I feel like it would be a popular game. It's Mario Kart, but Formula One.
Like, wait a minute. I'm still hung up on this bubble thing. Were bubbles a boost?
Nah, bubbles were like bananas in Mario Kart.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense, because like the oil from a bubble would make you, like the soap would make you slip. Okay. That makes more sense.
You'd be throwing like different, so there'd be like a red bubble, which was obviously like the red shell. Blue bubble was like the green shell, I believe. Yeah. There was like a pulse one. And then there was ones that you could throw behind, which I think were yellow. And they were like the bananas.
Instead of bubbles, would Kimi Räikkönen throw his gloves and steering wheel?
No, sadly, that was before that happened, because as I say, they haven't made an updated version. But maybe if we had an updated version in classic drivers, Kimi would throw his gloves and steering wheel. Make it happen. I want it back. And then if they ever did esports, I've got a career sorted for me, because I was honestly goated at that game. Max wouldn't stand a chance.
You would be like the sim racing champion of like the sim racing equivalent of Super Smash Brothers.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I would be the Jarno Otmir of F1 Racestars.
Who the hell is that?
You don't know who Jarno Otmir is? Oh,
who's that?
There's going to be some angry comments for you now.
Fucking hate that I don't know shit. I'm like, listen, I'm a new fan. Like, guy, I've been watching this for a year and a half. I'm sorry I don't know fucking Nyong guy, you fucking serious wankers. Get over yourself. You fucking F1 fans take yourself way too seriously. Everybody needs to chill. Okay? This is a sport that is designed for entertainment. All right?
Jarno Otmar is, and I know why you won't know him, because he is the esports, he's a two-time esports champion in F1. So if you don't watch, it's like you saying you don't know who this NASCAR driver is or this IndyCar driver, and I probably won't have a clue. But that's probably why you don't know him. But he's a content creator as well. He's probably the biggest F1 sim racer in terms of making content.
Jarno Otmar?
Jarno Otmar, yeah.
Where's he from?
He's from the Netherlands.
Oh, and yeah, is that why you're moving to the Netherlands?
That's why I'm moving to. He's actually my girlfriend. his fan base is honestly, they are the worst. They are the worst.
Jarno Otmar.
They're coming for you. They're coming with their pitchforks. But how dare you not know our beloved goat?
With their what? Their Minecraft pitchforks?
Yeah, their Minecraft pitchforks.
Yeah, okay. Come for me.
You're just here just digging your grave right now. They're all on their way. Speaking of the Netherlands, where Jarno Otmar is from, it is the Dutch Grand Prix this weekend. And what a segue. What a segue. It's at Zandvoort, and I should really know this, as my girlfriend is Dutch, but I do not. But what does Zandvoort translate to?
It's a combination of the word sand and fjord. Thank you for asking, Hayden.
Well, you wrote it down on the note, so I feel like it would be rude of me to steal that from you when you are the one who did the translation and I didn't.
So how familiar are you with Zandvoort outside of the Formula One, the context of Formula One?
I know whereabouts it is in the Netherlands, but I've never had the luxury of going there. Been there so many times, but I've never been north of Amsterdam. I believe it's quite close to Amsterdam, just a little bit north, close to the coastal line. Right. of the Netherlands there, but other than Formula One, nothing really too much more on top of that.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, it is one of the major beach resorts of the Netherlands. We all know the track has been around for a while, built in 1948. It hosted a Grand Prix in 1951, but it was not an official Formula One Grand Prix. The first official Formula One Grand Prix was in 1952.
It's weird how they used to have a lot of unofficial Formula One races, but like now you would never have that. They would just be official races. I kind of wish that we would have something like that again. Sorry to go off on a tangent, but like, you know how people always hate on Monaco and say Monaco shouldn't be on the calendar? Well, if they do get rid of it, like, it should still be an event every year, but like a non-official event, you know, kind of like what they used to do.
There have been theories that people have that Monaco should be just like a, like an event, like a celebration,
yeah,
where like, or like a, or like a driver's parade. Because it kind of is
anyway.
At this point, or they should race on different cars. They should race on smaller cars or legacy cars or carts or something like that. Something to make it competitive.
90s cars that are just a whole lot safer. Get some of those. Yeah, in. Safety of today, but 90s cars.
Or we do a tie-in with a brand and we just race that car. It's like a spec. Monaco's a spec race with a Toyota Prius.
The Pill P50. Get them all in Pill P50s. If you don't know what that car is, it's basically just a single-seater car. I think it has three wheels and it doesn't have a reverse gear. So you have to get out the car, pick it up by the hand on the back and pull it out.
Like a lawnmower?
It's honestly tiny. You search up right now, Pill P50. It is a tiny... tiny car. Those of you who watched Top Gear will know what it is. But yeah, it's basically a three-wheeler, two at the front, one at the back. It looks awful. But yeah, get
I think
that
I spelled it wrong because I'm just getting a pharmaceutical ads.
It should just be peel, as in like orange peel, and then P50.
Oh, I wrote pill, like P-I-L-L.
Okay, but that explains why that's come up.
It's like, I don't know what this pill is. It's used for back pain, ankylosing spondylitis, frozen shoulder, and chronic pain.
Once you see this car, you're going to want one yourself.
It's, I'm on drugs.com. Anyway.
You're on the wrong place. Joking. Stop.
All right, here we go. P50 cars. Yeah, this thing is tiny. This has to be so top heavy too with these three wheels.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It really is. I don't think it can get up to that fast for you to roll it, but who knows, maybe. And I feel like, you know, people moan that the cars are too big for for Monaco. So let's just reduce it down to the smallest possible car and race around Monaco in one of these.
Are they street legal?
Oh, yeah. They're street legal, I'm pretty sure. One thing I would worry about with it is if it has enough power to get up the hill. Not too sure. But, you know, that's future Formula One's problem. Let's just race there. Let's find out. If they all stop to get up the hill, they just got to pull their car up.
I would love to see you and Amber and some other creators based out of the UK go race these at a track.
Yes, I'm down for that. I don't know whether... I feel like I just about fit in it. Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear got in it. He's taller than me. So I feel like I'd be cramped, but would be able to fit still.
But it probably wouldn't be fun because you'd be so uncomfortable.
I've driven single seaters, which are also incredibly uncomfortable. Having a fat ass and being tall and having to lift myself off of the steering wheel is... but then when you're in it, you're having fun. So I reckon it'd be fine.
When you did a single-seater, it was at Silverstone, right?
I've done one at Silverstone. I've done one just outside of London. Where else have I done? I've done one at Buckmore. And every single one of them, I don't fit in the seat. My arse is too big. I've been eating too many McDonald's. And I am also quite tall. I think I'm on the verge of being too tall for them. So a lot of the time, my feet are resting on the pedals. So like when I'm doing slow laps, like warm-up laps, I have to push... the steering wheel, like push myself off the steering wheel to push my legs off the pedals so that I'm not pushing the brake and the throttle at the same time.
Wow.
But then once you're going through it, you kind of forget about that and you're fine.
And this is different. This is not a single seater, but at Formula E, I did an electric lap, which is their version of a hot lap when I was in Portland. And it was in a Nissan, electric racing car. And the seat was incredibly narrow. Like, I barely fit in it.
They just are like you just have to be so, like, fair enough, they're athletes, you fully understand that. But, like, you know, just allow me that, you know, fast food evening just once a week. Come on. Sometimes I'm lazy on that drive home. I need to pick something up.
It was a Leaf. It was a Leaf. That's what the car
was.
That's what
you were in.
It was very fast.
Nice.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, so getting back on track. Zandvoort first hosted a Formula One Grand Prix in 1952, won by Ferrari's Alberto Ascari. Race ran, it was off for a couple of years because of the Suez crisis that was happening. Mm-hmm. It was like a war that was happening in Egypt. It was also off another year, I believe, due to budgetary reasons. But for the most part, from 1958 to 1985, it ran every year with the exception of 72 when they were doing upgrades to the track. Niki Lauda won the last Dutch Grand Prix in 1985, but the company that ran the circuit went out of business, and subsequently Zandvoort was dropped from the Formula One calendar. Did not return until 2021. It was supposed to run in 2020, but it was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Since its return, it's run three times, clean sweep by the Dutch Lion, Max Verstappen at his home race, and Red Bull. This race in 2024, Max has a chance to tie Jim Clark for most wins at the circuit. Do we think he's going to pull it off this year?
Car's not quite where it was in 22 and 23. Obviously, it was the standout performer for both of those seasons at the time of the Dutch Grand Prix. 2021 was obviously more of an even playing field between Red Bull and Mercedes, and Max did an incredible job, won that race. Now you're throwing Mercedes back in that mix. McLaren, arguably over the last few races, have just maybe the fastest car than the other two. Maybe Ferrari, when they were good at Monaco, it's a similar spec. It's very much very tight and technical and twisty. But McLaren were also very good at Hungary, which is, again, another track that's very tight and twisty, Monaco without the barriers. So I think it's going to be tougher for him than he has had it. I think there's still obviously potential. You can never, ever, ever write off Max Verstappen for a race win. This season has really, really been impressive, I think, because, yes, okay, you had the car at the start of the season, but then all the other teams have caught up and made it a bit more of an even playing field. But it's still looking like he's still got the upper hand, not just because of the start of the season that he had, but, you know, you look at Canada, for example. I don't think he should have won Canada, but he was still able to come out and win Canada and absolutely smashed it. And not just obviously himself, the team did a great job too in terms of getting the strategy right. So you can't write him off, but I think it will be difficult for Max to make it four in a row.
I think, and listen, this is just me saying this as a fan. I'm no expert, but I think the fact that it is his home crowd, there's some magic about him being there with the Orange Army. I think he's going to be able to put together a win because it's his home race and he might want it a little more than usual.
But they're all wearing orange, so it's...
So you think they're McLaren fans?
Cheering, yeah, they're all McLaren fans. They're cheering on Lando and
well,
and
they're
Oscar,
wearing
right?
orange. They're wearing orange, Hayden, not papaya.
Oh, sorry. I got the wrong shade. My bad.
There's a big difference.
What
the
is
amount
the
of times I've called McLaren orange and I've had like floods of comments being like, "It's papaya."
Don't call the Ferrari red then, because I believe it's actually Scarlet. So
it's Scarlet, aka Rosa Corsa.
Rosa Corsa.
Yeah, that's the shade of red it is.
So if they made a B team like Toro Rosso used to be, the B team should be called Rosa Corsa.
100%.
I'm down for that. That sounds like a cool name.
That would be fun.
That sounds like a cool name. I want it.
I mean, at this point, they should just have all the top five teams should just have a B team.
I'm fully down for that. More drivers in the field, have a B team, you know. Yes, or we have three drivers per team.
And keep it at 10 teams?
Yeah, keep it at 10 teams, but they all now have three cars.
And now only 24 cars qualify, so it makes qualify even that more important.
So let me do maths quickly. So six cars, that was embarrassingly slow for how little maths that was, but six cars will not make it to the race is what you're saying.
Or you could say four, because I feel like there was a while, just 15, 20 years ago, there were races where there were 26 cars in the grid. So you could, you know, take your pick. You can eliminate four, you can eliminate six.
I mean, F3 has 30 on there, so that's just very fair. I mean,
that's
smaller
wild.
Cars, so yeah. It gets away with a bit more. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of the F3 from Belgium. I think it was Belgium. Qualifying in Belgium was just awful from F3 because no one wanted to be the front man and giving everyone tow. So they were, or the front driver. So they were all so close together on the warm-up lap that none of them really made the line. Which we've seen in previous times in Formula One, and we get to Monza after Zandvoort, and I'm sure we're going to see something similar to that. But yeah, I'm down for it. Either, you know, have those B teams or an extra driver per teams. Therefore, and maybe there's a rule that they have to be under a certain age in that team.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion. And we're going to get roasted for it.
We're already over the fire right now. Somebody's just twisting and turning us
around. We're
just
a couple rotisserie chickens talking into a microphone because we get roasted so much. But maybe this is the compromise that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Where instead of adding new teams to the grid, every team gets three drivers.
I mean, there's reasons why they can't do it, but I don't care about those reasons. That's future F1's problem. Put the rule in now.
Not my monkeys, not my circus. But that could be the compromise. You add 10 more drivers to the grid immediately, It does not dilute the money among the teams.
No.
Which was their biggest concern with adding an 11th and 12th team.
You know, and some of them are going to be like, oh, but I want more money now because I've got free drivers. So you're going to have to give me more money.
And possibly if they're calculated enough about this, certain drivers could bring more money to the team.
Yeah. 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 I agree with that. They can open it up and they obviously have more drivers coming in, and there are drivers that come in with a bit of a budget as well. So, and sponsors. So yeah, definitely. Going quickly off on a tangent, who would be, so we have, let's pick three drivers for each team. Who's going in each team?
Before we do that, here's the compromise because of the space on the grid. You have more sprint races and that third driver always drives in the sprint race.
Is it just for the third driver? So there's only 10 cars in the sprint, or?
No, I'd say you have, like, each team has a designated number one driver. Mm-hmm. That driver only drives Grand Prix. And then the number two and the number three drivers drive sprint.
Okay. Yeah. Gives that a
younger
talent.
So the swing number two driver drives in both.
Okay.
Let's go through this.
Start Red Bull.
Who's going to be the Red Bull number three driver?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah, they say it's the rules come in at Zandvoort, and we're adding those
right now,
drivers.
Okay, Red Bull, Liam Lawson.
You're going Lawson, okay. Because I was going to put Ricciardo up.
Interesting.
I was going to put Ricciardo straight in.
Okay.
I was going to give that as an option, but what do you think? You think stick with that option, or you think still stick with Lawson?
I think I'm going to give Lawson the call up because I feel like he deserves it, but Danny's also a good pick.
Okay. So we put Lawson in Red Bulls. So we've got Perez. Also, yeah, if we're going for the I don't know if Lawson is under 25, he might be around that age, but if we're going for under that bracket, then that makes more sense as well.
Yeah.
How old is Liam Lawson? Let me quickly just double check.
I think he's 24.
He's 22. So he ticks that box under 25. Okay, cool. So yeah, we got Checo,
the rule
Max.
The rule is they have to be under 25.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good rule to add. Yeah.
Okay, this is fun. I like this.
Okay, so Liam Lawson in Red Bull with Checo and Max.
Okay. Ferrari.
Ferrari. I think simple. Ollie Bearman, straight in.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
For this race tomorrow, yes. Love it. Mercedes.
He's definitely under 25, so that's fine. Kimi Antonelli. Easy one, I think, again.
Avi, easy. Steak / kick / Sauber.
So
I'm going to say...
You say. Who are you going to say?
I'm going to say Teo Porcher.
Yep, I was going to go the same as you.
Were you really?
Yeah. Well, he's been with... He was with Alpha before. I think he's still in the Steak family. And they have picked up Zane Maloney, who's in F2. But if Teo Porcher is still involved, then I pick Theo over.
Okay, next up, Williams.
Williams. Ooh. So, hang on. Bear with me on this one.
I have one, but I'll let you go first.
No. You go first then. I'm just trying to... Okay.
Paul Aaron.
Okay, you're going Paul Aaron. Now, I was thinking, right, Logan Sargeant could count as their under 23 driver, or their under 25 because he's 23. So we pull in somebody else who is outside of the umbrella or a reserve, but I'm just struggling to think who is that fit. Who's currently out of a job? Who am I forgetting about? Who's recently out of a job? No one left the grid last year. Give it to Sebastian. Give it to Sebastian Vettel. Bring him back. Put him in Williams. Okay.
And Williams?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I don't know.
RB.
RB, Iwasa. He's in Super Formula at the moment.
I was going to say Isaac Hadjar, but
Hadjar's a good
shout
as well. I didn't put Hadjar in because he's still doing F2. And Iwasa recently done F2 and has moved on to Super Formula, which is how Red Bull kind of like to do it when they don't have an open space. So,
all right, Haas. I'm going to say Pietro Fittipaldi only because he's like one of their test reserve drivers.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever drive in Formula One. I think he's still young. He's a very solid IndyCar driver, but that's who I'm going to put for this hypothetical scenario.
Yeah. I'll give you Pietro Fittipaldi. He's part of it. So, yeah. Yeah.
McLaren.
Ooh. They have recently got, I think it's Bortoleto, but I want to look at somebody's age, which I'm pretty sure is under 25. And they are 25, but I'm pretty sure Oscar Piastri is under 25, who would count. So I'm putting Pato O'Ward in that car.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes,
I was going to say Pato O'Ward. Like. All right, we got two left. Aston Martin. I'm going to say Drogovic.
Drogovic, yeah. Okay, yeah, I go right. Drogovic as well.
All right, last one. Last spot here is Alpine.
Jack Doohan or Mick Schumacher? Which one are we going for?
I'm going to go Mick Schumacher just because like I want to see him get another shot.
But, I'll join you on that. I'll join you on that one.
But he's exactly 25, so he makes the cutoff.
He makes, and I think, yeah, both of them are, both Gasly and Ocon are over 25. So yeah, that's perfect. That's fine. There we go. We've just fixed Formula One.
We did it.
Just single-handedly fixed Formula One.
All right, y'all. Check's in the mail. Easy enough. Let's call it a day.
That was actually a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
I think that shows, with the exception of like a few of the people that we put in the list that were kind of for fun or are already going to the to Formula One, it shows how many people, at least from a fan perspective, like deserve to be in a seat.
Yeah.
And are ready and at the very least deserve a shot to drive an F1. And we probably could have easily come up with like 10 or 15 more drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if all the teams can't afford it, we maybe do something like an IndyCar version where teams are allowed three teams or three drivers. And if they're like, oh, but they've got an advantage in the Constructors' Championship, only two of your drivers' points are allowed to count for the team across that weekend. So your highest scoring two drivers count. The third driver doesn't count. So therefore, only the same for everybody. Only have two cars.
I love it.
And maybe a young team wants to come into the sport, but they've only got one car. They've only got enough one car. So they can run that one car. They might be a little bit down the Constructors' Championship, but they still got a car there.
Small but mighty.
We are fixing Formula One left, right, and center.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Right, let's pull ourselves back to Zandvoort.
Now, prior to the 2023 Dutch Grand Prix, similar to the Hungaroring and Monaco, Zandvoort had a reputation for being a track which was very difficult, where it was very difficult to overtake. For example, 2021, there were only 24 overtakes. In 2022, there were only 23 overtakes. However, in 2023, we got the clusterfuck that was the 2023 Dutch Grand Prix, where Formula One had a record 186 overtakes.
Job done. Zandvoort Grand Prix is fixed.
It was wild. And most of that was due to rain.
Yes.
I believe everybody was on slicks and it started raining during the formation lap.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone tried to stay out. And more than a third of those overtakes are attributed to what happened on lap three, which I think was a lot of cars were going into the pits to switch to inners, correct?
Yeah.
And so we had heavy rain during the formation lap, but still it was very uncharacteristic of what everybody thought a race at Zandvoort would be like. So my question for you, Hayden, as someone who probably races Zandvoort in F1 24 and iRacing, which Zandvoort are we going to see this year?
I think, unless it rains, I think we're probably going to see the 21 and 22 version, sadly. But I also want to put a caveat in that, does overtakes make the race exciting? Because you can have an exciting race that has 20 overtakes. You can have a boring race that has 100 overtakes. If the overtakes are just easy DRS overtakes on a straight that you don't even get wheel-to-wheel battles, it's just, meow, bye-bye, see you later, and you get to the braking zone, and you're not even anywhere near each other. That's boring. Like, I'm sorry that that is boring. Well, at least that's my perception of it being boring. Whereas you could have an exciting race that only has 22. Zandvoort is a really, really great track, and I honestly generally enjoy driving it on a game because it is a challenge. You don't really get a second to breathe. You're constantly on it. And when you're racing against other people, it's not like a case of, okay, cool, I'm just going to wait till the straight and I've overtaken them, job done. No, you, by the time you get to the end of that straight, you still have to brave that overtake. You still have to make that lunge. You still have to go for it. Or if you find a way through the corners, your wheel to wheel, it's scary, but you've got to pull off that overtake. And that's where I think good racing can come from at Zandvoort. And I think the problem necessarily isn't with the track. And this is what I say about Hungary and Monaco all the time, that it's not with the track, it's with the cars. And I think the cars are too big, they're too heavy. If you had cars that were more agile and just able to go wheel to wheel and fight with each other back and forth, you would get better racing at circuits like this, not just a case of having to have loads of overtakes. No, just battling. You know, one of the most famous battles in Monaco is Ayrton Senna holding up Nigel Mansell in, I think it was 1991 or 92 season. And it's a famous battle where Mansell wasn't able to get past, but he got so close to the back of Ayrton Senna, and it was Senna putting his car in the right places. And that's what I think can make an exciting race. You know, if we have this weekend, Max and Lando fighting for the win, Max is in front, Lando's got the fastest car, but he can't get through because Max is positioning his car in the right places. That is an exciting race for me, rather than just Lando overtaking Max on a straight and no challenge.
I think you make a really good point, because there was another race this year that didn't have a ton of overtakes. It was Imola, the race at Emilia Romagna, the Formula One MSC Cruises, Gran Premio, Del Made in Italy, Del Parmesan Cheese. Grand Prix. But that race, while the majority of the race was pretty boring, the last 10 laps were super, super exciting.
Yeah.
I think the race only had like 30 overtakes or something like that. I just checked Reddit, so don't fucking fact check me. But like, from what I remember, it didn't have a ton of overtakes. But the last 10 laps were very exciting, yeah, because it was all about Lando's pursuit of Max. And if he had had like maybe two more laps, three more laps, he might have been able to overtake him. And that was incredibly exciting. So I think you make a really good point about that.
Yeah, so I like to give Zandvoort a chance. And as I say, I think it's a really, really good fun track. And I think, you know, whilst we are, as to answer your question, we are going to get the 21 and 22 version, it's not going to be loads of overtakes. Hopefully there are individual battles going on and not just a case of he overtakes here and he overtakes there. Obviously, that's amazing. If we're getting back and forth through corners, incredible. I just think it's very difficult for these cars to do that. But if we're just having somebody putting their car in the right position, like Fernando Alonso defending from Lewis Hamilton in the 2021 Hungarian Grand Prix, that was incredible. It wasn't a case of Hamilton's making overtake after overtake after overtake. No, it was Alonso just putting his car in the right place. So they weren't wheel to wheel a lot. It was just Alonso putting his car in the right place. It's like, can Hamilton get it there? No, Alonso's absolutely smashed it. He's done an amazing job. And it took him like 10, 20 laps to finally figure out, how do I get past this driver? That's what we see at circuits like this, if you give them the cars capable to do that.
Yeah. So there's a YouTuber that I've, there's a content creator that I've talked about before named Aiden Millward, who has an unbelievable YouTube channel. If you don't watch his YouTube channel, his videos are really good. He does like a lot of motorsport history, like long form videos. He said that if the Hungara Ring is Monaco without walls, or Monaco with trees, mm-hmm, then Zandvoort is Monaco with sand. Do you feel like that's accurate?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of rise and fall, which is exciting. But yeah, it's a very narrow circuit. It's constantly twisting and turning. Like, there's not really any sections where you can take that moment to think about what you're having for dinner tonight. You know, you're constantly on it. There's two straights, but they're not exactly that long. So yeah, I would definitely say it's Monaco with the dunes.
And they have the banked turns to encourage like closer racing.
Yeah, like, I think the bank turns just allow you to carry more, obviously carry more speed like you do in ovals. If it was a flat ground, you wouldn't be able to go flat out around those corners or small lifting.
Sure.
Whereas the banking allows you to keep your foot in a lot more. And obviously that falls onto the start-finish straight, which is the best overtaking opportunity on the run down to turn one. And the banking just allows you to carry that speed around that corner to hopefully, you know, get that chance to get the overtake. So basically the straight is from the penultimate corner rather than from the final corner, like it would be if it was flat.
Right on.
And I think they're just cool to see as well, the way that the cars get up quite high and the different lines that you can take. Like the fact that the line that the real-life drivers take is so different to the ones that you can do in the game is just crazy.
Have you ever been to Zandvoort?
I haven't. No, I haven't been. Would like to go. Definitely a trip.
Maybe next year when you're a Dutch citizen.
Exactly. When I'm a Dutch citizen, it's going to be my local. So
it's going to be your home race.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to be my home race. One thing I was really jealous about the first time that we went to Zandvoort is they had these really cool capes. I don't know if you remember them in 21, but we had some really cool capes where they were just like orange, the Dutch or the line on the back of them, and I think the collar or the strap was made, or it was just like the Dutch flag. And I said that they were really cool. And whilst I was fully Lewis Hamilton camp in 2021, and my girlfriend was Max Verstappen, and we locked horns a lot, like we fought a lot. But I was like, if you can, I want one of those capes. Sadly, she got me a very knockoff version from like one of those dress up stores. But one day I will get that cape.
So. To jump on that, we all know that Zandvoort was more or less added to the calendar because of Max Verstappen's rise in prominence in Formula One. Do we think Zandvoort will remain on the calendar if and when he retires?
I feel like no. I feel like it would drop off, or as we spoke about last week, it would potentially become a track that alternates with another track. I think... Unless, and there's a high chance this will happen, because obviously Max Verstappen is inspiring a young generation of Dutch children to want to become Formula One drivers and become racers. And he's inspiring that next generation to come through. So there is a great chance we would have another, you know, top Dutch driver coming onto the grid. But I feel like Zandvoort kind of needs a home driver for it to hold its place on the calendar, especially when you have all these other circuits and countries coming on that have the financial backing to be like, we're going to pay you loads of money, you're going to put us on the grid. Similar, I would say, to Mexico. I would say Mexico is not only there because of Sergio Perez, there's obviously a huge Mexican audience for it, but is it an audience that has been built up and brought over because Sergio Perez was on the grid, and that sort of rose from... Because he's always been a good driver. Sergio Perez has always been a good driver throughout his career. I know he's getting a lot of slack now at the moment, but that's just because he's in a car up against Max Verstappen that's, you know, very, very on the nose, and a car that he's struggling to gel with compared to his teammates. So, yeah, I feel like Mexico was brought onto the calendar for Sergio Perez at his home Grand Prix, and I think it's another track, just like Zandvoort, that would be at risk of falling off when they eventually stop racing.
All right. So let's move on to just a few questions that we have about the second half of the season. I don't want to like go full predictions, but let's just touch on a few things. Do we think Ferrari will win another race this year?
Yeah, I've always said it, Monza. That conspiracy theory is going to come true. They built their car for Monaco, and now they're taking off all the aero, no drag, are going to absolutely... blitz it at Monza, or just do what they did last year where they put it on pole and then got beaten in the race. But I think it's gonna be tough. To put a realistic hat on, it's gonna be tough. I don't think they are where they want to be, and the other three teams have overtaken them. But who knows? Maybe over the summer break they brought some upgrades. I think that this is probably going to be the last few upgrades that the teams are going to be bringing for this season before they look for 2025, and then of course draw their focus onto 2026. But I think it will be more difficult for them, to be fair. And I'm gonna say no. Sadly, yeah.
I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna say it, Monza, like your conspiracy theory.
I want to believe it, but I don't think so.
Only because this season, this has been such an incredible season in Formula One, and we've seen so much more parity than we're used to. I think it makes me hopeful that like anything is possible among the top four teams.
Yeah, I think so as well. And who knows, maybe even if the grid gets a bit closer and it could be a really, really crazy race, because I think we've not got a crazy race yet where it could really be anyone's and people have ended up in massively out of position. So I don't know, maybe that could be Ferrari, or it could go to a team further down the grid as well. Would love to get another driver's first race win of the season in there. But yeah, I feel like for me, it's going to be more difficult.
Also, we're all fairly certain that Max is going to be able to secure another driver's championship this year. He has such a big lead. So he has a pad in the driver's standing. So more than likely, he's going to win the driver's championship for 2024. However, it won't be as dominant as it was last season. Of course, this season might, if it continues to trend the way it is, it might be very similar to Jenson Button's season when he drove for Braun in 2009, where he was incredibly dominant at the beginning of the season, and then all the other teams seemed to catch up.
Yeah,
and I think he won like one or two more races in the back half, but didn't dominate the way he did on the front end of the season, but was able, had a secure enough lead and was able to gather enough points to win the driver's championship. I think we might see something very similar in Max on the back half of this season. But my question is, who is going to win the constructors' title this year?
I think it's going to be McLaren. I feel like it's not something I have to deliberate too much on. I think McLaren have two very good drivers that are both shown that they are capable of winning, and they both won a race this season. I feel like the drawback will be the pressure that's being put on Lando Norris to try and catch up to McLaren. I think there is a big amount of pressure there, and it's pressure that shouldn't really be put on. That's why mistakes have been creeping in. But because Oscar's got no pressure on him, he's been able to really flourish in this in the last few races, and I think he can continue that going forward. So I think they'll be backed up by two drivers. We've seen how much Perez has been struggling over the course of the season so far. Starts off really well, but it's just kind of dwindled off a little bit. But who knows? Once we get past the Mexican Grand Prix, and if this rumor is true, the Liberty Media have stepped in, and then they make that switch after the Mexican Grand Prix, and Ricciardo comes in or someone else comes in, they're able to perform in that car. Maybe that could give Red Bull just enough to fight and hold on to the championship. But for me, if with all the cards in place as we have right now, I think it's McLaren's.
I think you're right. I think McLaren is going to end up winning the constructors' title this year. Last question, or two more questions. Will Lando Norris win another Grand Prix this year?
Yes, he surely has to. With the car being okay, it is the better car on this grid, but it's not miles clear like the Red Bull was dominant in previous years. It's slightly better than the others, and it is also track dependent. But I think he's got to win another race this year. He needs to take that pressure off, and maybe it will come once it's no longer mathematically possible to win the Drivers' Championship. That pressure's now lifted off his shoulders, and he can go win a couple of races at the final rounds of the season. But I think surely he has to win another race this season.
And maybe this summer break has given him an opportunity to recalibrate and reassess and recharge, and he's able to come in with a mindset to capitalize on how good that car is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I agree. I do think he's going to win at least one more race, which leads us to our last question of the day. How many more races will Max Verstappen win this year?
Oh, it's always such a tough one, because I just feel like the car is dropping off. It's not where it used to be. Spa, he was really good in quali, and who knows what could have happened had he not had the penalty. I think
10 more races.
No more than three.
So, and the remaining 10 races, you think Max Verstappen's only going to win three of them?
I think potentially. I think as the races go on, the car, the other teams will continue to catch up. And I think it will be a lot closer. And as I said at the start, you can't write him off. Even when he doesn't have the best car, he's still a contender. He's still an incredible driver. But a car is a very, very important thing. Having the better car, obviously, going to give you a better opportunity to win the race. Sounded very Will Buxton, but it is true. So
it's like Valtteri Bottas said in an interview recently, F1 is not a fair sport.
It's not. You know, whoever has the most money, whoever has the best car, you're going to be the best chance of getting champion. Yeah, okay, we've had stories where that's never always been the case, but it's more than likely the case. And I think as the Red Bull drops down a little bit and the other teams catch up and potentially even overtake them, and which they already are starting to do so as the best team on the grid, it's going to become harder for Max to win those races. And I think, you know, I think there are potentially three races. I do think that he's got a really good chance at Zandvoort. And as you say, the home crowd will spur him on. That's an extra, that's worth a few extra brake horsepower. So potentially he could win that one. But as the season goes on, I expect the latter few races in the season to go to potentially the likes of Mercedes or McLaren, who are going to have that, the more time in the wind tunnel to catch up.
I'm going to say Max wins 5 more races out of the remaining 10 Grand Prix. So I'm going to say 5. I'm not saying he's going to win the lion's share, pun intended. But very I do good. Think he's gonna win half of them.
Very, very good. Right, before we wrap up this podcast, then shall we give our top 5 prediction for Zandvoort?
Yeah, or do we want to save that for later in the week?
Or yeah, do you know what? Let's save it for later in the week. Let's save that for later in the week. Okay, cool. If you want to hear our top 5 predictions, make sure you check out our podcast that will be coming later on in the week. And how do you do that? Well, you hit that follow button on whatever platform you're currently listening to right now. Make sure you check out the official WTF1 social channels and check out James's content as well as checking out myself too on, you know, across social media. Until the next time, though, we will see you during the week for our closer pre-Zandvoort podcast. Until then, have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.